Lovely to say to you, my name is Jill, rather than my name is Dr. Jill Hayes, or whatever I say at the university. It's very freeing to me to let go of my identity, because I feel that I can be me, and that I can share my feelings and my heart and things that are happening to me in my body, rather than trying to be somebody other than that core self, that real self. And I think this is what draws me to work with people with dementia, because I feel that I can be myself, that they are very honest and open with me, because as identity drops away, something other comes through, which I believe is the core self, and I think that's been reflected on this morning, or earlier this afternoon, and I find that very moving. So, in working in dementia, in a way, identity doesn't matter anymore, and feelings do matter. So, Ken, what you were saying earlier about, you know, how do we legitimise the work that we do, I would say that often where there's authenticity, there's beauty, and feelings and expression of feelings are important in themselves. A client said to me earlier this week that she felt unexpressed, and I think this leads to frustration and dissatisfaction and malaise and unhappiness in all of our lives. And I think what we're trying to do in the arts in dementia care is to provide an opportunity for expression, whatever that expression may be, as we said earlier. You know, it may be somebody screaming, as I've had, "What is my name? What is my name?" Somebody who doesn't know their name. It could be that as an expression. Or it could be, as last Christmas, when we were in one of the care homes and we were all singing carols, somebody says, "That was bleeding awful." She's another expression of contempt. An expression of love, which I often get, "You look beautiful," and a big kiss on the cheek, you know, "This is great." And longing, expression of longing, somebody following me to the door of a home where the door was locked. "Will you take me where you're going? Will you take me with you?" You know, that really touches you, doesn't it? It touches your heart. And another one, "Do you need me? Do you need me?" And we all need to be needed, and we all need to have some kind of expression that makes us feel a part of something. And this is why we're doing the work we're doing with the arts in dementia care, to acknowledge these expressions, to acknowledge these voices, and to give them a space. What else do I want to say? I think I'll now launch into then telling you about this project that I was involved in 2008 and 2009. The project was based at the University of Chichester. But it involved various professionals in looking at how to enhance dementia care in a person-centred way. And the part of the project that I was involved in was the creative arts component. And I worked with this with my colleagues, Sarah Povey, who's helped to write the book, who's a voice music therapist, and my colleague Anne Colvin, who is a dance artist and practitioner. So we were actually involved in training care workers, so workers in the homes, in seven homes throughout East and West Sussex, doing lots of movement expression with them, using all forms of the arts, but particularly beginning with the body and with movement. So practicing being together in dyads, just sitting in silence and stillness, witnessing each other, picking up on each other's moods, not saying anything, making pictures about each other, and then moving expressively, and your partner in your dyad witnessing that person through movement. So a lot of non-verbal training. And people were surprised at how much they were able to understand about the other person just using these non-verbal means of movement and dance. So who took part in the project? I've already mentioned Sarah Povey, who isn't there, and that's because Sarah's focus was really singing and music, and we're talking about dance and movement today. So it was my colleague Anne Colvin, who many of you may know, choreographer and dance artist and trainer, worked on the D43 collaboration training in West Sussex, which was a group of older people attending dance lessons and producing performances about their lives. And both Anne and I at the moment are now involved in another project with the University of Brighton and my university. We're doing a pilot project at the moment that's looking at enhancing relationship between carers and people with dementia using movement. And that will hopefully move into a full-blown project looking at this aspect of dementia in the future. So here's Anne and myself. There's been a focus on hands today, hasn't there, from the word go. And here we are, following each other's hands. And each person in turn expressing something through their hands, and the other person picking up on that and allowing that, giving that space. People have spoken today about mirroring and expanding what you perceive through your body, and we use this a lot with people. So to learn how to take hold of something that's invisible but it's very full of life through your body, through your hands, and to allow that to grow, to allow that to take up the space of the present. Just a couple more pictures there. Oh, no more pictures then. We put together a 3-day training program for 7 care homes in East and West Sussex, and we reflected upon its value for the staff and for people with dementia. And I think this notion of value is very, very interesting, isn't it? The notion of validity and what is of value. Now, what do we personally feel is of value? And how we record that and how we spread the word about that, that we've spoken today about producing robust studies that people will listen to. Now what I listen to are people's stories and people's feelings, and to me they matter. They are valid. So in recording data, I suppose, to say was this project successful or not, we ask the care workers to write creatively towards the end of the day, to just offer some creative writing or reflection upon the value of that training for them. And I thought I would read to you one of these statements, just to show you how some of the workers were affected. So here's one of them. In my eyes today, you made an urgent plea. Do not neglect the sick and the elderly. Do not turn away from the disabled and the dying. They must not be pushed to the margins of society. For if we do, we will fail to understand an important truth. The sick, the elderly, disabled and dying teach us that weakness is a creative part of human living, and suffering can be embraced with no loss of dignity. Without the presence of these people in my mind, I might be tempted to think that health, strength and control are the only important values to be achieved in my life. So it goes on. We should keep the sick and all those who are suffering at the centre of our lives. But I was very moved by reading this statement, as many others. And there's something in here for me about weakness is the creative part of our human beingness. And so in listening to or witnessing people who are clearly very vulnerable, our own vulnerability, our own weakness is touched, and our own creativity is touched and is released through that. So I think, you know, I wanted to read this testimony to you, because I really believe that our lives and the people with dementia's lives are involved in each other, that they are reflections of us and, you know, what may happen to us in the future. And so this work is not about them over there, separate from me over here. It's about me. It's about all of us together. I really feel that very strongly. So I think I'll read a poem that I wrote before I move on. And it's called "It's Not So Far From Here to There." My fear is that I will grow old and be unable to look after myself, that I may lose my mind, that I will be alone, that I will drive others away from me with my insanity, that I will go mad, that I will be alone, that I will be trapped in my own troubled attachments, that I will not escape from these, that I will not find peace, that I will be eternally restless, that I will be alone. My feeling is that music and movement soothe me. They touch me when words sound like meaningless mumbles, urging me to do things I don't understand. Music and movement reach me. I move and I sing and I feel in contact with others. And I think that links back to the starting point today about being in the present moment and being connected to myself in the present moment. Okay, we'll move on now. So repeating then, when words fail, movement or stillness, so the movement and the stillness, can succeed as a way of communicating with the person with dementia. When our judgment causes us to label behaviour as strange or as separate, stillness and movement bring us back into contact with the feeling world of the person with dementia. Now here's a symbol that I use on the front cover of the book. You see, I've taken it just off the book onto the PowerPoint now. And it's a Chinese symbol for to listen, which many of you may be familiar with. On the left, we have the ear. At the top, we have you, and then we have the eyes underneath. And then importantly for me, we have that line which is about non-separation or undivided attention. And this word undivided really links with my feeling of non-separation. And then, importantly again, at the bottom is the heart. It's into the heart. So listening through the heart, listening through the body. The body is a way of listening. And there's all the different characters there, just written down with the words. Ear, you, eyes, undivided attention, and heart. Here's a quote from the book from Sarah. People with dementia are already on another plane, unbounded by our beliefs about our present reality. It is us who need to shift, who need to make the shift, to join them and not expect them to return to us. And I think that links with Richard's strange shapes and strange forms and being able to be with them, move towards them. So in the project, with the care workers, we use authentic movement, which is a discipline that I'm trained in.
Five,
thank you, Ken. Which involves stillness, listening through the senses. Listening through the senses. Eyes closed often. If someone's moving, they'll move with eyes closed and they'll be witnessed by somebody with eyes open. Involves sensing and feeling the moment as it's happening, perceiving the other on an energetic level through the body, and co-creating through listening, listening with the body. So this is the nature of the work we did with the care workers and what we also practice with people with dementia. So here we are, it's Anne on the left, that Anne Colvin. Picking something up with a hand. So why use embodied presence and movement in dementia care? Because we don't want to lose contact with the person with dementia, because we feel that the person inside the illness of dementia still exists, because we have experienced deep connection with people with dementia, and because the feelings of people with dementia matter to us. And that through expressive movement we touch on physical, emotional and imaginative levels is aspects of mind that our first speaker was speaking about. Expressive movement can help to reconnect the person with dementia to something which had and has in this moment emotional meaning. It can rebuild the bridge between then and now. It can be some kind of anchor when the mind is all at sea. The body is an anchor. And movement from the heart is important because the heart of the person still remains and creativity still lives, as our speaker was saying, our first speaker today in this session, still lives inside the person with dementia. So we are patiently waiting for the delicate movement, for the barely perceptible expressions, as well as the larger expressions, of course, and for the organic creativity which we can sense through our living body. If you see that rose, if you perceive that rose now, how do we perceive? We don't perceive just with a name, do we? When we see a rose in the garden, we perceive it through our senses, through all of our senses, through our bodies. That's the meaning of the rose. So there has to be a space in dementia care, in dementia care homes, for being, for stillness, for feeling, so that people feel they are witnessed, so that people feel they are seen, that they have a presence. So what did we teach with the care workers? What we were looking at really was, how do we find meanings inside apparently, inverted commas, irrational movements, actions and sounds? And how to find and share our own selves through our movement interactions. We were working a lot with this. I think often in environments where the work is hard and difficult, and this is the reality in many dementia care homes, where, you know, there's a lot of aggressive behaviour, a lot of screaming, and so we somehow layer ourselves so that we no longer see the people that we're working with, we're no longer with them in the present moment, we are comfortably numb. So what we were in a way intending to do was to help people to re-perceive the people that they were working with. So from a state of numbness and distance, those over there, we move to a state of aliveness and closeness. From a habit of labelling, we enter a process of perceiving in the moment, the person in the moment, not the label. And from a habit of separating, we move to a feeling of non-separation and understanding.
Since Anne and I towards the end of one of our hand dances.
A natural pause and end. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you very much.